Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Amen. Can we lift our hands to heaven tonight? And we give God praise from the depth of our heart. I like you to say it, let it come, truly mean it, be serious about it. We bless you, Lord, you are holy. And forever you are God. We bless you, Lord, you are holy. And forever you are God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Thank you, blessed Father. We bless your holy name, Jesus. And in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen, amen. All right, because of the magnitude, tonight is... how far are you willing to go with me tonight? Are you sure? Tonight is not for baby Christian, it's strong meat. Oh. Strong meat. Huh? There's that meat they sell in the north, they call the meat kundi. Uh-huh. Have you eaten it before? Now stop looking too. Have you taken that before? Alright, it's strong meat. Oh. It's strong meat. But one thing is certain, you will have your own word. Amen. Praise God. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost loud and clear? I want you to pray loud and clear. Loud and clear. Shekata balaraka shete. See a bada gada 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 gada. Loruka Jesu, Loruka Jesu, Iyanu Yoshelem. Loruka Jesu. Loruko Jesu, Iyanu Yoshele, Iyanu Yoshele, Iyanu Yoshele, Loruko Jesu, Loruko Jesu, Iyanu Yoshele. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, tonight reveal your word to us. Anoint these lips of clay. That as a vessel in your hands, life will be passed. We give you praise, dear Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Thank you, Streams of Life. You may please be seated. Thank you, Church. You may please be seated. God bless you. Tonight, I'm going to be taking us on the subject, Wonders in Heaven.
wonders in heaven. Probably one or two people have seen this Bible study, wonders in heaven. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Joel, chapter number 2. Joel chapter number 2, we start the reading from verse 28. Joel 2, we start the reading from verse 28. Now, this is a word of prophecy that the Lord had given to the mouth of Joel the prophet. Said, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servant and upon the handmaid, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Now, the Bible is talking about the expectations, the things that will be seen in the season that the Bible put in the word says in the last days. Because you will have some scripture translation or rendition say it shall come to pass in the last days or in the later times or in the end of age. So, one of the things that we are seeing will be the characteristics of the last days is the outpouring of the Spirit. The what? The outpouring. So it means there's going to be revival breaking out in different places. Sons and daughters will prophesy. So it means the revival also. In that season, you will not say the generation of the youth is a wasted generation. Because the fire of God will latch on young men and women. Just like we have it now. But I believe this is just the beginning. Amen. But your old men will dream dreams. Now, dreams are very prophetic. And they are also very strategic. Sometimes they come as pointers. Dreams can come from different sources. But this dream is spirit-inspired dreams. That one you see without interruption of the flesh. Then your young men shall what? They will see visions. Now verse 29. Also upon the servant and upon the housemaid, in those days I'll pour out my spirit. Every part of the house will experience revival. But verse 30 now brought a dimension. Said, I will shew wonders in heavens, in the heavens, and in the earth. Blood, fire and pillars of smoke. So if the Bible says that this is one of the things to look for in the season of the outpouring of the Spirit, if you understand the rest and you don't understand this, you have not done well. It said, I will show what? Wonders. What the word wonder there, in fact, it's from the word Mophet. Pronounced Mophet. That means something of amazement. What is a wonder? Something of... And that's why the Yoruba meaning of wonder is Iyanu. That is something that is jaw-dropping. That's what you say when you say a wonder. I think the New Living Translation, when Adam saw Eve, I can't remember if it's all the living word, the first thing he said was, wow. There is nowhere there will be a wonder and there won't be wow. Are you with me? Hey. Are you with me? So it means there's going to be event. That is strong enough. We understand wonders on earth. If somebody should rise from the dead right now, it's a wonder here. It's no wonder in heaven. It's not. Amen. Because in heaven, angels don't die. And there's no death in heaven. Somebody get up from wheelchair and begin to walk. It's wonder on earth, not wonder in heaven. Somebody got blessed and moved from thousands or hundreds and become a billionaire. Wow! But it's not wonder in heaven. Now, some theologians concluded that this scripture refers to the cosmic manifestations, weather conditions and all that. No, but the word there is the word heavens. And there is a definite article there. So it does not just refer to the atmospheric heavens, it refers to all the heavens. So we can debunk that. And particularly when we can now find histologically different aspects of the Bible that corroborate what wonder is in heaven. And how it connects to the end time. Okay? So if it says I'm going to show wonders in the heavens, and when, where again? In the earth. But, hey, it began or it begins from where? The heavens. Then it will manifest where? The head. Okay? Then he said, then blood and fire and pillars of smoke. This is a very interesting one. And I'm not going to jump the gun to go there. Okay? So, what we want to do tonight is to, let's look at a few scripture. Is that okay? Can we do that? Let's look at a few scripture and begin to journey towards this, and hopefully somewhere along the line as we study, you will find yourself. Then you will understand what exactly is happening in your life. And you will know how to align. Is that clear? Good. So let's go to the book of Ezekiel. I'm sorry. Let's start from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians 3. Alright, we go to verse 10. Ephesians chapter number 3. So we're going to read Ephesians 3:10, then we're going to read Ephesians 6 also. Now it says, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers where in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Can we break this down in Message translation, please? Let's break this down in Message translation. Now look at it. It said, true Christians like yourself, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even amongst who? Angels. Can we check this out in Amplified translation? Now look at it. It said, the purpose is that through the church, are you with me? Are you with me? Through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. That is what God wants to make known, is a dimension of wisdom that the Bible says, when you look at this wisdom, it is complicated. And the Bible is saying, when you look at this wisdom, it is complex. So it means in the days that the life of a man is a wonder in heaven, you cannot calculate God's operation by just being smart. It means if you have indices by which you rate men, when the complicated and multifaceted wisdom of God is at work, you'll be lost. If you have calculations by which you have calculated and concluded that this, when this begins to happen, this is a proof that God is doing this. In the days of his complicated wisdom, your predictions will not hold water. Let me give you an instance. You will conclude, according to scriptures, that if a man is found faithful, he is entrusted with much more. But in the days of the complicated wisdom of God, a man can be found faithful and what he has is taken. What he has to be taken. Because now God is not going by 2 plus 2 is equals to 4. God is about to teach him and those who are watching that there is a new method that you don't know. So where the wisdom of men stop, they sum the man by that calculation that a 2 plus X is 4. Find X. You cross it to the other side, 4 minus 2 X is 2. Say, so X is definitely 2. If this is not yielding this result, then something is wrong with your life. That can pass for any day. Not in the day God is showing himself as God. It won't pass. So in those days, you keep quiet. Because the assumption that you know God A to Z is pride. The assumption that you know him and say, if it's God, we know God. No. Paul, at a level that you will believe, you should see that begin to take his flowers or get his flowers, said to the Philippian church, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. If you look at the many encounters of Moses, you would not expect that it will be Moses that will be saying that I want to show me your glory. Because the Bible said at some point there was a tabernacle called the tabernacle of meeting that had to be placed outside the camp where the Israelites will wake up early in the morning and God will descend and speak to Moses in cloud as a man speaks to his friend. And yet the same Moses will say, I don't know you, show me yourself. Because the more of God you know is the more you know you don't know. Whenever you feel you know enough, you have stopped learning. See, pride is the beginning of manifestation when ignorance commences. The moment there is pride, ignorance has started. That's, you can never be. You see, I was sharing with my wife, and I think I had to vent, and I said, my life is not easy. What are you talking about? I said, my life is not easy. Because I'm learning so much that they're showing the past wisdom foolishness. Keep learning, and you will never be arrogant. You think you can fight pride when you are not exposed to new things? You can't. You'll be one hired man in the city of the blind. There are wisdom and knowledge that will humble you. Let's leave that. Are you with me? I've not started. We're just getting somewhere. Let's look at the complicated wisdom of God. But before we get there, let's look at the tenant in the heavenly spheres. Can we quickly investigate who are the tenants? Because if we say there's going to be wonders there, who are those that will be amazed? You've seen a category. So let's go to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Oh God, help us tonight. Is there somebody saying that? Is there somebody saying, oh God, help me tonight? Ephesians 6, 10. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Yes, quickly. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against what? Powers, against what? Rulers of darkness of this world, and against what? Spiritual wickedness. Where? In high. Now, the word high there is not the balance word. Can you give me this in Amplified Translation quickly? In fact, I want rendition that talk about in heavenly places because that's the word. Okay, good. Amplified. It says, for we rest not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness and against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly, the supernatural sphere. So when it comes to the spirit, or when it comes to wicked spirit, or the spirit called spiritual wickedness, it's a gather of spirits. They said those ones, leave them where they are. They're in the heavenly places. Principalities, powers, they're in this world. But spiritual wickedness, they're in the heavenly spheres. So there are angelic rulers there. And that's where they are. So what is this wonder that can be a wonder to them, as wicked as they are? What is it? What's the Bible talking about? How do you define wickedness? We say wickedness is the ability to do wicked things. What is wicked things? To do what is bad to someone, and to the end that you cause the person pain, either of emotion. You know the way you can define medical terms, either emotional pain, physical pain, and it looks like that's so sound, but that's so daft. Because in the school of wisdom, pain can be a blessing, and pleasure can be an activity of wickedness. What is wicked does not often look wicked. And what is good does not always look good. What I'm trying to tell you is that you can be blessed with a season of good things, but to the flesh, it is the season of pain. So we cannot conclude that something is wicked or good until we see the seed or what it bears. A tree is known by its fruit. Wickedness is known by the aftermath, not the process.
All right, let me give you an instance.
I'm going to give an example. I've taught on this before, but I'm going to be much elaborate today. Now, I give this example. I remember the case of a boy. I think from Uganda. I can't remember either Uganda or Kenya. I can't remember precisely. That a musician went to that country, sang, and saw the poor little child and adopted the child. I think a boy adopted him. Fast forward about 10 years, 13 years later, the boy that was adopted. Now, if you saw a boy on the street that people know used to beg for food, and suddenly a celebrity from America came and has now adopted the child, what will you say? That the child, heaven is now open. The child is now blessed. God has opened the door. This is a good thing. It is marvelous in our sight. Oh, what a great God we serve. Oh, we serve a God who can lift men from the dunghill and set them among princes. These are the conclusions of Christians, because it is physically good. But newsflash, the boy is now a girl. Now, if you judge it, if you are in the shoe of God, who knows today, before the boy was taken. And while they were taking the boy, the mother of the boy insisted, "You can't take my son." You will say, that's village people. But village people, or the witches, they are the most useless and the daft in the cadre of demons and the works of darkness, because they are stupid. In fact, the things they do, if the spiritual wicked guys and the principalities will do them, they will keep you alive and make you miserable. Spiritual wickedness will tell you it is an act of mercy to kill a man. There are many wicked things that can be done to the man than killing him. Why cry at night and say you want to drink blood? Let me explain a bit of things. I'm not teaching demonology, but let me explain. Because Nollywood has spoiled your theology a bit. So let's bring it back. So let's assume, look at the Russia-Ukraine war, the war that is going on in Russia and Ukraine. So let's look at the war. I've read books about different wars. One of the things you find out is that elite nations don't just go man to man. And the predictions, if there will be any World War III, is that it's going to not just be with ammunition, tanks, and all that. It's going to be a cyber war. For instance, the nation Russia has an equipment called EMP, electromagnetic pulse. They can be carried by a warhead. All right? The same way a nuclear warhead is actually carrying nuclear bomb. This EMP, if detonated, let's say for instance, Washington, what it will do is that it will render powerless anything that carries electric pulse across the entire nation. What that means is the entire nation in a flash will go back to Stone Age. Now, you look at that and say, okay, electricity will go in Nigeria, we experience that. No, hold on a minute. So let me explain. It means the cars moving will stop. The planes flying will come down. People who have their medical old data on different things will crash. Nobody will be able to get medical aid. Nobody will be able to get money. Nobody will be able to get anything. It means it is like the event. You can only kind of, it's an apocalyptic event. When that happens to a nation, the nation, no matter how great they are, will go on their knees immediately. They will be worse than the third world nations. That's the implication. So Russia has it. Until now, America does not have what it takes to counter that equipment. Hold on a minute. So, when you look at a fight, because of the crude nature of your environment, what you think is man to man. But when nations look at a fight, they look at channels of supply, strategic points to destroy. That is, there's no point just killing people. No. Like what happened to Ukraine now, their dam was broken and all that. Say, okay, you guys did this. They go, who are those carrying their supplies to the military? Find them, kill them, destroy the line of supply, do this, lay seek, destroy strategic areas, blow up their airport. So you see that even nations fight with strategies, and not just anger. The issues with fools is that they have anger that is not strategic. Okay? But nations have anger that is strategic. If nations can fight like that, how do you think spiritual wickedness fight? Because what many people in Africa pray about is that, I shall not die, I shall not die. They say, we are not interested in killing you. We'll give you what is worse than death. There are many strategic areas to break your life that you'll be better off dead. Okay? So I gave you that story. And I said to you, when if the mother of that boy had come out at the last minute and said, you can't take my son. So I just feel something, you can't take him. And they went back to farming, drinking gari, and suffering. And even church people will pass and say, look at your life. God brought you help, but you didn't take it. God brought you help. Look at your life. You are finished. You guys, it is the worst category of demons that is finishing you. You are idiots. There's no hope for you again. Your family is this, that. Is it possible that you actually cried about certain things because you did not see the future? Maybe. Because Jacob labored 14 years for Rachel. And Rachel did not get to the destination. It was Leah. Leah. The one he called cheap. Stop exaggerating your labels. Before you start, try and ask the one who knows the end from the beginning. Is it worth the fight? Talking to the wrong people? All right. So wickedness does not always look wicked. For instance, it is wickedness to bless a fool, because it will destroy him. It is wickedness to give a man what he's not ready for. It will make a mess of him, no matter how good it is. God is not wicked, and that's why you wait. That's why he wants you to be ready. That's why he's not just interested in you feeling good. He's interested in what becomes of you. And that's why certain times some things are nice and they will look good. It's true that you actually may need them, but they may still sink you. And God says, hold on. You know, I was talking to, I don't know whether it was school of ministry. I said, God spoke to me. I told him, I said, this is what God said to me. He said, there are two kinds of ministers. Some will be used to display speed, what God can do, as touching lifting a man. Some will be used to display process, what it is to journey with God. And God said, one will inspire a generation, the other will preserve a generation. You can inspire a generation and not be useful for their preservation. Because when the story comes for men who are going through, you are not a part of it. It's just like, so, you know, no, you see, one who leads the flock must smell like the flock. And that's why the Bible says about Jesus, for we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, seeing that he was in all point tempted like we are, and yet without sin. It means the one we inspire cannot preserve because he does not have their message. He does not have their message because he has not gone through their journey. The journey is not as bad as you say it is. There's a generation saying, talk to us. And you know what I found out? It doesn't matter how deep affliction is. It is for a light moment. It is for a light moment. There's no one who inspires you today who got it easy. If they did it, they will not inspire you. People inspire you not for results, except you are a fool. They inspire you for their process. True? And that's why you are preserved. See, at certain phase in my life, I had to go look for those who have my kind of journey. Because those who don't have my kind of journey, who are holding the Bible, are not telling me what I should hear. They are saying nice Bible stuff, but it won't help me. You've got to understand. Not everyone who can speak English can speak your language. You've got to understand that. And I perceive that for many people who have sat down in shadows and say, yes, I'm going to praise God, but it's just not been good enough. Because somehow you wish God can do the same thing he's doing in that person's life, in my life. The same thing. Let's assume. That's why I said tonight is for bone breakers. Can I teach?
Yes,
because I've not started. Can I teach you?
Yes,
look at the woman described in the Bible, Anna, the prophetess. The husband died while she was in her youth. And for a reason she could not explain, she was condemned to the temple to pray night and day. And God did not give any explanation. Another man there, Simon, was just there praying. If you had come to the temple and seen them, you say they are useless people wasting their time. But the fate of humanity was hanging in the balance on the neck of intercessors. For over 60 years he had prayed, not knowing why. Joseph will find Mary and he will not be able to touch her, no matter the temptation. Not because Joseph is a strong man, but because someone is condemned to pray. And if you look at them in the flesh, you say, useless people, but they are wonders in heaven. Because in the days of the silence of God, there were men in the tabernacle who were not priests, who were not holding titles, but the burden of God was in their heart. And they were holding the universe in a balance. But they will pass for foolish people. How will you sum the life of a man in seeing a child you don't know what he will become? And God will say, wonderful. How does that make sense? You can't tell me different theology. I'm a student of theology. And say, you are talking from the perspective of the Old Testament. No. I can take the book of Hebrews 11. The Bible talks about these men who, of whom the world that was not worthy of, and described them, said they roam about in desert, in sheepskin. Some of the most despised people, they are actually the league of extraordinary gentlemen amongst us. Some of whom will have to mature to discern. Your failure to discern a person doesn't mean the fellow is worthless. You might not have come to the wisdom flow level. Wisdom has a language. And if you are not understanding the language, you call it foolishness. If something is not useful to you, it doesn't mean it's not useful. What I'm telling you is that there are people you trivialize, but according to the economy of, if you know who they are, you will learn. I was going to have a meeting years back. I just called different NGOs in Nigeria that have not been recognized. We just called them and awarded them and recognized and celebrated them for what they are doing. But there was a man amongst them that came. And when I saw him, this man has been in the news, in CNN, all those stuff. When I saw him, I excused myself somewhere because my eyes became teary. And I was like, who is this guy? Because this is not somebody who learned humility. There are people who learned humility. But this is someone that life broke and left broken. I saw a man I feel I may never become, because this, with this, what you call small, is power. The reason why you get offended is because you are somebody. There are those who can't be offended because they say, who am I? But it's power. Okay. It's power. You keep dealing with offense. Like, so they are at the point of, who am I? Sorry. They don't have to deal with offense. Cobams said, a blind man cannot deal with lust of the eyes. I've never had to pray for any blind person about freedom from pornography. He doesn't know what it is. It is not part of his struggle. Okay. What I'm telling you is that there are wonders locked in every seemingly trivial conditions and painful stuff. It depends on how you see. And before you pity people, be careful. You might be the one to be pitied. You might be the one to be pitied. You say, no, shh. The exam is going to, you may never pass to go through it. Oh. In the kingdom, exams are not just about levels and seasons. They are about trust. Oh. Job did not come to a level where he had to lose everything. It was just God boasting. It was not about a season, that this season it was written. Mm. So what somebody called trouble on earth was God boasting in heaven. It was God boasting. And those coming to pity him, God was not boasting about them. And the man you are pitying, God is boasting about him. And God is telling the devil, look at him, he's my servant, he won't fail. The devil said he's loyal because you put good things around him. God says, strip it, but don't touch his life. The more he got afflicted, the more God says, I told you. The more people are saying, hey, yeah, Job. God said, I told you. If it's a good time to ask, how many of you want to be a wonder? Now, you see, now you have to be careful. Because wonder is not always what you call it. Oh Lord, make my life wonderful too. Where? Sit down for a moment. Hey. So what kind of event, what kind of activity gets the attention of heaven? If you catch a glimpse about the operation of God, one of the things that will happen is that, number one, you become more quiet, because you will not just open your big mouth and talk. Because you find out you don't know much. You don't know much. I say you don't know much. Keep quiet. It is not everyone you jump into counseling for. Sometimes you want to wait. What I want to counsel this person about? Have I been trusted with this battle? And I tell people that you are a leader. Does not mean you understand everything. There are people that have come to meet me, I don't understand. And I tell them I don't understand. One of my spiritual daughters told me years back and said, God said she should come to Ibadan. It did not make sense. It did not make sense because, according to my calculation as a leader, at that phase of life and considering her age, she needs to settle down, and I have not found anyone in the church that can match it because of the size of the church then. So it did not make sense to me why God would say you should come to where your husband does not exist, and then you leave Lagos where you can find, and then come to Ibadan, a church of students. And in months, she got married. I'm saying you don't know everything. And accept that there are times God will say things to people that doesn't make sense. And those are the days of his complicated wisdom. Let me share a part. I don't want to talk in this direction again. Now, our attempt to raise a church of people who are both supernatural and cosmopolitan should not excuse the reality of divine leadings. When God said to me to sit down, study the Bible and pray and fast for 2 years, there was no counsel I got to that instruction made sense. This is it when it comes to instruction. Make sure it is God. It does not have to make sense. See, hold on a minute. What I'm saying is delicate. Before you rush and say, yes, thank God, Papa has confirmed. Hold on. It is possible that my word confirms what God is not saying, because that word is not for you. Are you following what I'm saying? You didn't understand what I said. There can be a confirmation to what God didn't say, but somebody said it, but it's not God. Because actually it was not a word for you. When a word is not for you and you pick it, it will confirm what God is not saying. Do you understand? Let me give you an instance. And that's why it's dangerous. You have to first be a student of the Spirit and a student of the Word before you can begin to attempt jumping from one meeting to another. Bulk of those meetings can confuse and destroy your life, particularly if you are not sitting with God in the secret place. Somebody can be in a place where you need to learn, sit down and be trained, and certain things need to be dealt with. But you go for a meeting and they say, if you find yourself where you are not celebrated, get out of that place. Say, yes, that's my word. But that's you jumping out of destiny. That was not your word. Sometimes some words appease you, but they are not yours. Just say, okay, it sounds good, but I know at this phase, I know something is. But to yourself, be true. The moment you are not true to yourself, you will lead yourself in a very, to a faraway land. Like the prodigal son, you waste everything, and when you still have enough, you find messages that tells you you are correct. Until you have exhausted the supplies. Amen. Are you with me? Can we go back to wonders in heaven? So what is it that sparks amazement in the heavens? If we look at the track record of the things God commended in the Bible, and we pick them one by one, they are not things that you like to find yourself in. One of the first commendations we found, however, was God commending Abel, because he gave a kind of sacrifice. If you teach that kind, that you give God the best, the media will cut that part and say pastors are robbing people. But that was what God commended. God also commended Abraham when he was about to slice the throat of Isaac. That is, he got to a point of a resolute commitment to honoring God no matter what it takes. God said, now I know that you fear me. And then release the blessing. God is not a sadist. But you are human. And because you are human, and you are just, the time at your disposal is just a fragment of eternity. You are easily amazed. For instance, God doesn't say, well done, thou faithful and good servant, until the job is done. Then he says, go and check all the parables. When the job is done, he says, he won't come in between and say, well, I'll have faithful. Because at the 11th hour, someone can jump out. And faithfulness means that you finish. Okay? Amazingly, something else that was commended was the woman who had the least offering. The poorest. But God said, Jesus said she had given the best. Everyone Jesus commended were not Jews, particularly commending their faith. The woman whose daughter was sick, that said, Jesus, you come and heal her. And Jesus said, you can't give the children's food to dogs. That was enough to offend her. But she went on to say, even dogs can eat the crumbs. Jesus said, I've not found this kind of faith in Israel. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years affliction, said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She definitely was not the only one that was sick in that place, but she was the one who made that decision. And when she did, virtue left Jesus. And in the midst of crowd, he turned and said, who touched me? It didn't make sense. How can you ask who touched me in a market? Market is a place where people touch people and eat people. And say, who touched me? Because someone touched him with faith. And she said, I did. I said, but the affliction is gone. 12 years. Gone. Jesus said, you are made whole. What do you think should have happened to all those who were sick around? Get your healing. Touch him. You see, sometimes in ministry, pastors think that when you exemplify, it is enough to open the eyes of people. The greatest miracle you can have in any ministry is for the people's understanding to be opened. Their knowledge can be fruitful, but their understanding is not opened. One of the evidence that a man or a woman's understanding is not open is that they are not consistent in wisdom. You can't be consistent. Today you are honoring, tomorrow you are very stupid. Today you are pleasant, tomorrow you are doing that. You don't understand. You are just carried about by emotions. Any subject you understand, you become consistent. Lambano is understanding. And that's why you can't teach without interceding. Because it is in the place. There are many things that can't fight knowledge because they are smart people, but they can fight understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Understanding is the last that comes. Knowledge is the first. Apply correct knowledge is wisdom. You have to do it again and again for you to now understand what it is. You can't understand what you are not doing. I think I've left your level. All right? So there are very few times that God gave commendation. Look at the use of words in describing these men in Hebrews 11. Turn your Bibles there. The use of words in describing those kind of men. God doesn't throw words around. God doesn't throw words around. If all scripture is inspired or given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and these are inspired scriptures. God doesn't throw words around. He doesn't. Are you aware that all the men decorated with words and described in Hebrews 11 as men of faith, the proof of their faith was not receiving what they had faith for? The proof of their faith was the privilege to be a part of a big picture. Hold on a minute. Let's go there. Hebrews 11. It was not about receiving. It was. Are you trying to destroy faith? Go and listen to what I teach. The basis of faith is from Latter Day Okuta. It will help you. All right. Now look at it. Let's start Hebrews 11 from verse 8. All right. Hebrews 11, 8. I'm going to be quite fast and you have to follow me. Say, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise and as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed when she was delivered of a child, when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky, in multitude, as the sand which is by the sea, shore innumerable. This died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. These all died, not having received. Fathers of faith did not receive what we call the proof of faith. How are they fathers of faith? Because faith is about judging him faithful who has promised. Faith is about judging him faithful who has promised. You know the problem with your kind of faith? Your problem with your kind of faith is a faith that has timeline with alternatives if God doesn't show up. And that's the difference between your kind of faith and their kind of faith. They burnt their bridges. God, are you calling me to ministry? Oh, yes. If you call me to ministry, then it must work within so-and-so time. If it doesn't work, then I'm going to go back to my trade. What kind of faith is that? These men were ready to die. And even on the day they were going to give their final breath, if they are going to be naysayers around to say, what are the things you said God will do? Look at your life. Now you are dying. He's not done them. They say, we've seen it afar off. Why are you not the man? I judge him faithful who has promised. It's not about me. Okay, it's not about me. Many things are about you. And maybe that's why you are in church. If some things are not working, you may not find it convenient to be in church. You should give me my wife at this time. How did I learn to be bold? To be bold now. I learned to be bold at a season of my life where I had to sell noodles by the roadside. And it was not about selling of noodles. It was about the place where I had to sell the noodles. It was that I had to sell the noodles close to a church where I've been transferred unjustly because they got me wrong. And I had to commence the noodles on a Tuesday that they were going to be coming back from service. And I stood there with my apron, my shirt and tie. And they were going to pass and I was going to excuse myself from where I was standing so somebody else would be there. When they've gone, then I'll come back and continue my business. But the Holy Spirit said, stand. And I stood there, my legs were shaking. And they passed and not a single bird came by to say, Pastor, what are you doing here? Not one person asked, even those I call friends. And they all passed and they were pointing. We see them giving themselves elbows and say, look at him. We know that's how he's going to end. And I look at him. My legs were shaking. I got to the point the legs carried me. And I left that place bold. Having passed through that moment, I feared nothing again. You are running from what you should stand and do. And you may never get your strength until you face your fears. I say, I don't want people to see. Many of you are concerned about the impression that carries no water in the weight of eternity. What will they think about me? And what will they say? I'm going through this now, I'm going through that. They will say, hey, wake up. Wake up. They say, we know you were once pregnant. Where's the baby? We know you were once married. Where's your husband? We know you were once engaged. We saw you give ring and send pictures. Where's your spouse? And you bother. And people bother about those opinions and stay in abusive places. When God moves, move. You see, obedience in the wilderness will be follow the cloud. When it moves, you move. When it stays, you stay. It will take a lot of audacity to stay when God has moved. And to move when God is staying. Now let's begin to break this a bit and begin to explain this. What I'm saying is that be willing for your life to be scattered if it's part of your journey. It will arrange back later. It's not particularly, do you understand what I'm saying? The problem with church community is that impression is like sticker that condemns people to do what they should not do. Because we have people who have been raised to thrive on human accolades. And this is not a religious house. Am I losing you somewhere? So let's turn a bit to the book of Job, chapter number 1. Maybe before I go to the issue of Job, let's pause a moment and speak about this little young boy called Joseph. I've spoken about Joseph, but probably I might need to bring a bit more light to an aspect of Joseph you've not thought about. You had a dream, and in that dream, what you saw was that your life is going to be such that will be envied, such that will command dignity and honor, respect from even your brothers. And you shared that dream in the place where you should feel the safest amongst your brethren. And from the moment you shared that dream, you became a target And a little while, now they had to put you in a pit, and they were discussing. They were discussing. His life was now about their conversation. Should we kill him? If they come to an agreement that he should be dead, they will kill him. So what they did was not just selling to slave trade. It was as weighty as killing him, because it was part of the conversation. What I'm telling you, if somebody discussed that should I kill him or not, and they said, let's cripple him, the same person has killed you, because it was part of the options that he was ready to take. So he saw them killing him. It was their option. But they can't kill him, because as far as they were concerned, it was about a conversation. And what they think in their own pride is that the conversation was about what they decide. But there is a voice that must be inspired by the Spirit. And the voice must command their obedience, no matter what their anger and jealousy is. Because the redemption of the world is tied to that voice of that small boy that will say, don't kill him. Not even a small boy. Reuben. Reuben was so toxic, he was sleeping with his father's wife. Who would have assumed that the one who is the most deadly amongst them would be the one to say, don't kill him, let's sell him? Because a voice must speak, and God will find someone to use. Your life is not subject to what they are saying. There is something beyond their conversations that a voice must come out. And Reuben said, don't kill him, let's sell him. And from the one who saw his brothers bowing to him, now is someone they were prizing like they were prizing meat. But attached to Joseph was the anointing to preserve the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes need to be preserved not because they were good guys, but because someday Jesus will be called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And Judah is amongst them. And see, before we can now talk about Jesus, there's going to be Levi also is amongst them, and Moses will come from them, and law will come from Moses. People can be foolish, but their seed can be good. How do you gang up and kill a man that God is raising for your preservation? Because the only part of the dream they saw was that they were bowing. They didn't see other part. If there was one at least who prays amongst them, maybe God would have said, he's going to preserve you, and that's why that happens. Because for Joseph too, here's the issue with Joseph's and the reason for humility is that God is not preferring you because you are the best. He's preferring because somehow something is speaking on your life that you did not work for. So be careful how you share your little dreams. Sometimes the problem began not because God designed for you to go through that, but because you were not wise. You said things among those you did not say them because you wanted to prove a point. You said things and revealed certain things prematurely, and your misery began. Was there another route for God to have done that? Yes, there would have been, because obviously. And they sold him. And then they priced him, took him to the house of a man who was in charge of prison. If you were there as a spectator when he shared his dream, and you were there when they were pricing him as a meat, you say it's finished. But it's a wonder. Let me explain what I mean. Let me explain what I mean. What wonder? I want to try to bring you a bit closer to it. You see, it is easy for angels to give God praise and to raise sounds of joy in heaven and to do all those things. Like the Bible said in Job 38, that when the sons of God sing together for joy, where were you? And the sons of God, they were referred to as angels. It is easy for them to do that because angels don't go through process. Angels don't have a wilderness experience. Angels don't suffer. Angels don't, they don't know what it means to be tempted. They are not exposed to what we're exposed to. They can't relate with our reality. They are beings who are flashes of light. Are you following what I'm saying here? But they are surprised that we are here and we hold God in this esteem, because we can behold his glory and we can see who he is. You have not seen this God. How come they put a knife at your throat and you say, I'm ready to die for the one you have not seen? You are a wonder. That's why you will judge them. Because there are, in tough times, you have the will. You could decide not to honor God. They are amazed, how is he still going on? So when they minister to the heirs of salvation, it is, my God, this is something else. There are things you go through that you are expected to have given up, but they wonder, how is she still doing it? How is she still pushing? Is it the same God? We've seen him. She's not seen him. She believes the word. We have seen the word. I watched the man Dagger with Mills. The son died. He was on his way to a crusade, still went for the crusade, still preached and cracked joke. I can't understand. When Abraham was going to pick his knife to slash Isaac, God had said, your only son, Isaac. So he brought Abraham to the category of one who killed his only begotten son. Don't kill him! You can't enter my class. He wanted to. He would have. Because he believed what God believed, that resurrection will speak. The same thing God believes. He believes it. And then guys are saying, what is this? What kind of species is this? Who are these guys? Now you can understand Ephesians 3:10. Unto principalities and powers, the manifold wisdom of God, the complicated wisdom, will be understood. That the wisdom of God is not in things, it is in men. It's in men. Sit down for a while. For some of you, the devil does not understand the reason why you are still pushing on. All the words and the timelines you received failed. How come you still believe another one? The word came, it was 2022, it failed. But the word didn't die. But that time passed. You say, I'm still believing. Say, how are you doing it? How are you doing? But the opposite, say, I'm still believing. How? Wonders in heaven. One of the things you must understand is that the things that pass for wonders in heaven are reproach on earth. They are. Mostly. Because as far as the earth realm is concerned, we are used to celebrating and honoring and giving accolades. When people want to talk about people who want to bring for program, you want to look at the track record of success of a man of God and the things he's doing that makes so much sense and all that and all that. Say, so we look at the size of his church. He pastors the fastest growing church and all that. He pastors this. But you see, at the time those people are pastoring some of the largest, his care is not taking 90%. Have lost their weight. Because the weight was much more in the days of pain. There are more anointed people that will never be called because they don't have the physical things that were around those who called them. And I tell people, I say, see, the body of Christ is a very interesting place. I love the body of Christ. I teach not just the church, I also teach the body of Christ. But you see, one of the things I found out is that the body of Christ does not send you if you are not doing well. And do not think that the invitations for program is because you are loved. It is because there's something that is needed. And that's why in the days that you even knew much more and your consecration was deeper, and you did not have the privilege of the platforms you have now, nobody sent you despite what you know. Because everybody wants to boast that we have been able to bring so. And until you come to the radar of those mighty men, they don't send you, no matter what you know. But that is when you are a wonder in heaven. Because at that point, you should not be in that ministry according to human calculation. But you stayed. You stayed. Oh, Lord. See, there are things people go through that the response of those things will be, thank you, Jesus. But the response you give is, why me? How? Why you? How? What do you mean? From what perspective are you talking about? Is it in time or out of time? Because the wisdom of God is not just in time. It is beyond time. And you look at the man Job. Job chapter number 1. Oh Lord, help us. Job 1. Can we jump a bit? Let's start reading from verse 1, maybe for contextual purposes. All right. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Yes. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen. That means that we're counting 500 yoke will mean about 1,000 plus, because some can be yoke in threes and fours. 500 she horses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses. Everyone is there, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the numbers of them. And Job said, it may be that that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, that Satan came also amongst them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. Now it was God who spoke. Then the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? The same man, the same way when a man has visitors, he wants to check. Have you seen my children? This one is a doctor. She's a lawyer. She's in America. Yes. The elder sister, Lulu, that one is in Germany now. And she's a veterinary doctor. Who wants to make, you boast about the things that are most important. The things that gives you joy. So it means that Job did not sin. It is not every time that a man fails you ask who have sinned. Job did not sin. It means there are things that happen to you are not checking for what have I done wrong. The real answer is, what am I doing right? That's the real answer. What am I doing right? This kind doesn't come to those who are doing something wrong. For instance, if you are going to lead a ministry that is vibrant in the place of prayer, an apostolic head of something the Lord is doing in the city, one of the things that is going to happen is that ministry will be at the center of criticism almost every now and then. And the criticism can come even from those you call brothers. I'm going to love to explain the way this functions. But if you stop somewhere in the path of wisdom, you will call bad what God calls good. Because something has journeyed ahead of you to name it. Follow me. Come. Stand by the pole. That's a ministry. Somewhere along the line you stop following. We are going to name that ministry. And we keep walking. Keep walking. And he stops. And I get there. And I look at him. Excellent. He stands where he is. God has moved ahead. You can't see where God is. And God will not consult you to name what he's naming. So that's very bad. Look at them. That was what Micah saw. When she looked at David, what she saw was a madman. She was privileged to be married to a man in eternity that we call the Swiss Army of Israel. The man that God will trust with a key called the keys of David. And there will later be something called the sure mercies of David. But careful to name people ahead of God. Be careful. Because if zeal goes ahead of humility, you fight what God is building. I won't say more than that. Be seated. All right. It was God who said, have you considered my servant Job? For instance, There is a kind of man that God wants to prepare to do certain things. If you begin to purge yourself, according to what Paul said to Timothy, that if a man therefore purge himself from this, he will be a vessel unto honor. When you begin to purge yourself from certain things, and God begins to consider you a vessel unto what? Honor. That's a potential. You're going to be a vessel unto honor. But the vessel unto honor is now going to be purged. It's going to sit upon that vessel, like the Bible says, because Malachi, it's going to sit as the purifier of silver. Meaning that some experiences are not because you are not wise or you are not smart. They are because you actually pass for something God can now mold for the phase two to now do what he wants to do. And because you pass that without even knowing, you start for an exam. Now you have to now go through this that will make you go down in level beyond what you were there. And it's in the days that you were actually working in your own ways. You had more money. But now that God is now passing you through the cave Adullam, you don't have. And the problem with you is not lazy. But be sure you don't nod to what I've said unless you are in a process by God. Because this same truth can elongate your misery if it's not for you. Have I balanced it? That's the truth. And that's why I said, see, what makes faith powerful can't just be the result. Faith is unique for the process. The things you are waiting. So Abraham was waiting on God for the wife to have a child. When he slept with that girl once, he got pregnant. Meaning that Abraham could actually impregnate. But the question is to do it God's way. The things you go on your knees and shut down in fasting and prayer for, you can do them in the energy of the flesh. Many of you consider, should I go to this country and all that? Because you are factored in destiny. If you fail to factor in, you can go on your own and we'll see celebrate you. True? True? When you hear a man says that he had a bit of slight issues in marriage, it was not because he could not pass to marry many people. But you have to name correctly. If at the end of the day, what you come out with is to stand side by side with those who didn't do it through God and celebrate the same thing they got, then your faith is useless. The issue with faith is that at the end of the day, where you get that thing you said, actually, this was what lured me, but what I found is greater. You don't understand. For Abraham, it was, see, I go childless. Will you make my servant the heir? And this, that, that. And then God Isaac, then God said, kill the Isaac. So God was saying, it was not about Isaac. It's not about Isaac. It's not about Isaac. It's about the seed of the blessing. Sometimes there are delays. Because they are necessary. You see, the man I fear the most is the man who break through without process. He will be proud. And that man cannot speak beyond logic. Where logic stops is where wisdom starts. What I'm saying is that the case of men does not always pass for logic. By the grace of God, I'm a man who is well read, and so I know how these things can be because, logic can be powerful. But sometimes it doesn't pass. Sometimes as parents, you just don't understand why this particular child is behaving like this. And logically, he's the one you took to church the most. And you look at him and just conclude that, oh, let me bless the rest. This one, find your way. But that's the head. That's the head. I wanted to give an example, but be careful of your decisions without involving God, because God alone knows the future. I saw my instruction in that. Oh Lord. Do I still have you with me? Are you sure? Are we still together? As a pastor, I've sat in amazement several times. Some things don't make sense. Maybe years back, I could almost stand here and promise you that if we do certain things and we are committed to certain projects, then we are going to see the hand of God. We break through on all sides. I can't speak like that again. Because we can do everything right. And then someone amongst us, something is happening. It looks like it's going down. But it's just given the privilege to sit for an interview, for an exam. Will he pass? Every other thing will be peanuts without this interview. I don't know how to explain better. You have to hear this again, right? Okay. When we're going to come here, God gave me the instruction. Three instructions. One of my boys that I've told legitimately for reasons that were wrong. We won't condone this. God said, go and beg him. What? Go and beg him. Number two, everything you have as a church, sow them out. What? You think that the proof of ministerial growth is that the things you have been able to buy over the years? He said, that's not going to be the way I will walk with you. I will not want you to define my grace in your life in things. But I want to prove that what is on your head that I'm placing there can bring it from the scratch. When you go through process, you can start from the wilderness. Because you know that the same grace will bring water from the wilderness. Yes, sir. I'm not sure I can remember the third instruction now. But there was a thought that didn't make sense more. And when we did that, the result was that the thing crashed. And I was here inside when it came down. Because you feel an apostle should not be here. I mean, it should rest. It came down under my head. When you tell a congregation that God has said we should do this, expect, having done that, we break to the next phase. But no, we have to start under a canopy outside in the sun. Would have been wonders on earth to continue like that. But we have to become wonders in heaven. Because the best phase of my life in ministry was the moment that tent crashed. There were many things I was teaching I did not understand. That was when I understood. And I discovered that my life going on without that disaster, I will be a disaster. So what happened? Is it good or bad? You can't call your problems bad until you see the fruit it brings. We judge the tree by the fruit. And it takes maturity to eat fruit. So allow the problem mature. Then eat the fruit. How do you lead a church for 10 years, T.D. Jakes, with less than 10 members? The fruit is coming because the tree is maturing. And the tenacity you've learned in the days of 10 people, the faithfulness will carry you when they become millions. Fine girls will mean nothing to you because you pastored without being distracted. You survived in the wilderness. Sometimes your problem is much because you just want to blow on time. So let me ask you, the greatest thing you mourn in your life, was it good or bad? You don't know. It was after the event that I can now be able to identify what people go through. So at first I was angry. So and so person knew that this thing happened. He didn't even call me. And I remembered me too. I didn't call some people at some point. So this is how they must have felt. How did they keep relationship with me? Oh, I'm not as broken as they are. When you come out well, you don't come out judging people, you judge yourself. So Isaiah can say, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." When you truly find God, you don't come out with a message for all ministries. You now look at yourself and say, "There's something we are not doing well. There's something I'm not doing well." You can say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa," because you are still far from Him. But when you find Him, I'm telling you, you now look inside and say, "No, no, it's not about them." There was a time, my God. So that person, that time I didn't call this person. So this was I think Jesus. Wow. So when I go to a ministry and I see things they are going through, I can be touched. I can be touched. I can identify with it. And I saw that the grace will now bring people up, came upon my life. And I can speak to people from the pit and they will rise. That grace came while I was in my own pit. For every level you survive, the grace to bring men out of it is coming on you. That's the way it works. Pain is a sweetening ingredient. It may be painful, but the end is sweet. Particularly when you go through it well. We can just go on and talk about, oh, look what God is doing in our ministry. Look what. We've given out all the sounds, all the cheers, all the everything, and we have sown all the money in the account of the ministry. And then we've sent pictures and videos on Facebook of us marching from our former venue and then coming here, and they were expecting how the service will look on that glorious Sunday. But on a Thursday, it came down. And the supposed glorious Sunday, we had to meet outside there. How many of you were there? But we survived it. Do you notice what we came out with? The covenant of praise. Yes, sir. That's what we came out with. It must end in praise if you have gone through it well. It must. It must end in praise. What did I say? It must end in praise. Hallelujah. I was standing in Ife and we had the last meeting. The whole meeting, the whole operation to use that place was less than maybe 2 weeks or a week plus. A week plus. We could have used a small place, just a small meeting for me and the people. So you mean I'll go to this same place and call people and crowd will gather? Ife. We prayed 20 what? Was it 2014 or 2015? God said, because we heard that what is about to happen in this meeting, I've not done it before anywhere. Vigil. I was on dry fasting. Not the kind I was sleeping on a basement for 9 days. Went for the meeting. The sound they went to bring was like a sound from the pit of hell. Ooh, ooh, ah, your anointing, everything dies. I've gone to sow a white native. So I will look like Benny. Because I had that picture. So I went to give it to a tailor at Newmarket called Swa. Swa was not around, it was his boys who made the native. And then they had to go and tell a fellowship to bring their boss to carry me from my face, my face you apartment to the venue of the meeting. And as we're approaching the place, I was saying, this better not be our meeting. This time here, we had invited a worship team to come bless us. They couldn't sing. The sound had sworn. You won't do it here. I got to that place based on the strength of the prayer and fasting. Everywhere should be jammed. We had less than 20 people
Those who now came and now look like were many were my children from the orphanage home that we brought down. But the real audience, less than 20. And I sat down there in horror, looking at the person we have invited to come and sing. Oh my God! You know, the sound, what? And as they couldn't sing, and they say amen, and they drop the mic, it began to work well. They're now going to introduce me to bring me. I said, no, this sound should just be bad. So I can say, we are sorry, the sound. And guess what? The rain now started falling. And I was hungry. You should not have promised me. I would have won anything. No white. You should. I went to sew this cloth. The material and everything, 12,000. Because of what you said, God. You said it now, me, so. Did you say it to embarrass me? So I was angry. And it was as though God was saying, so it seems right for you to be angry. So somewhere where they put the pulpit, then water began to leak. The water was eating directly on my head. And the more it was dropping on my head, the more I had headaches, the more I was hungry. The more the devil was reminding me that I told you are not going to get anywhere. The battle was not just there, it was what was going on in my heart. That all these children you think you are leading, they'll become mighty in life. They'll become leaders in different industries. You left your career to raise people. You'll be foolish. They will leave you. They will betray you. And you will not get anywhere. Your children will be hopeless. And you will die trying. They were vicious words. You stand in the midst of that when you also have proofs of human that have left you. I say, you are not going anywhere. And I was angry. I would not go through all this mess except you said this will happen. I led people to Christ, prayed for healings, but I was angry. And for days, I didn't have devotion. I was not interested in praying. I didn't want to talk to God. And I didn't want Him to talk to me. Leave me. People were still coming for counseling, but I was not interested in God. You should have just left me. What kind of a God are you? By myself, I came to the end of my hunger. And I crawled back. And I found out that the God that has been described by many people is a God, not the God of the Bible. You would think He would rebuke me and say all that. He said, no, son. You were expecting me to make a meeting. I'm making you. What I described was happening in you, not in the meeting. I broke down in tears. Just like a doctor. Sometimes you have to do wound dressing for a person, but you have to afflict them to get them fine. Sometimes the healing process of God looks like affliction. But it's God. We can have these people, look at all of you sitting in Bible study. We could not have this in a meeting we have advertised everywhere years back. But while the process is on, and you are still holding the baton and say, I will not drop it. You are a reproach on earth, but you are a wonder in heaven. As we approach the coming of Christ, change your arithmetics. Stop judging men by what you see. Things are changing. God has different kind of sons, and some will not make sense until the fullness of time. Until the fullness of time. I'm not saying what I'm saying because I just want to make you feel good. I'm telling you as a man who has been through, and I know what pain is. I know what tears is. I know what confusion is. I know what it means to be given to a future you are not certain about. You just know God has said, do this. I don't know. What next? So I can be here and God say, go to Abuja. And I say, yes, Lord. Because I've obeyed some before. And I told you in Abuja, I was ready to sleep in the office. I told the guys, my wife should not come yet. We'll weather this. I'm going to come with my daughter. They can't cope here. The ladies, go somewhere else. We'll fix you up. But the guys, we are going to be here in this office. We are ready to put our foam here. Even as Apostle Lazarus. Because people don't talk about this part of ministry. Because it makes you look like you are failing. But we are not failing. We are wonders in heaven. It was in the midst of that God said, look at the window, son.
He said, I will give you a city in this city. And he called me out after we have started and he said, follow me out on a walk. And I went on a walk. And God said, son, have you studied your fathers? I said, yes. He said, what do you observe about them? I mentioned a few things. He said, guess what, son? He said, they don't have to be everywhere to have mega churches everywhere. He said, you are come to the end of the times where you will have to travel to commence. You will not have to be everywhere to have it everywhere. That covenant came between myself and God on the strength of obedience. There are reasons why you could have given up, but you stand still. I tell you the truth. The most difficult thing that I went through when this ministry was starting was the promises made to me by the devil that these children will become something, you will be left behind. And truth with many were living. And some we have labored, they were failing. Once they begin to pass, their parents say, stop going to that church. The devil will say, I told you. Soon it will be you alone. But angels are amazed. How is he still moving? How? You cannot really get to that generation without your journey. It is important. I'm going to say this because they said it in their message, in their 10th year anniversary documentary. I was speaking to Pastor Hiren. And he said to me, he said, when we got to Abuja, we couldn't afford a decent house. He said, the place we were was so bad that armed robbers came to rob us at night. He said, I didn't even know the kind of confidence I had. So I just opened the door. And I said, get in, pick what you want to pick and go. So when you look at Celebration Church today, it looks like, you see, people who come with words of criticism feel they were born like that. Every ministry have had their own fair share. You saw the story how they were to sell their suits and sell their laptops. And oh God. Games on the stage of destiny. When I came to this city, we couldn't afford a good house. Come to my house, we see over 600 cockroaches. Remember the day Lawrence came to greet me in the house for the first time? He was eating. Cockroaches were crawling over his body. I said, God. You will survive the promised land. Because of the wilderness. Don't let the time pass. You must grow in praise. It is a privilege to go through. It is. If I told you I saw this day coming and we have not even started. We have not started. That's the truth. We have not. If you know the season we are breaking into after Festival of Lights, we have not started. We've not started. And that's why I heard you. Don't think you can frustrate the system with rebellion. We've left you behind. We're set on something important. The flight is serious. The flight is serious. Our face is set like a flint. You have no idea what is going on in the secret place. We are not men who have forgotten where God picked us from. We survived something to get here. We're still surviving much more that you may never understand. The final week in Ibadan, the devil told me, we're having prayer, a fasting and prayer. The devil said to me, so when you came to this city, you came on bike. You are leaving, you're on bike. I said, I've used cars, SUVs. God said, release them. The devil said, I told you then, I'm telling you now again. No matter the height you climb, you are coming down. And I replied him, no matter the car, I will give it again and again. It's not my definition. Because I've learned something. That somewhere in the journey of the blessed, the blessing is not summed up in things. I found it. It is not things.
It is what is on my life that will produce everywhere I find myself. No matter how dry and how hard it is, it will work again and again. It is not things. Gone were the days he said it and I'll break down in tears. Now I know better. The sum total of God's weight in sphere of light church is not what we have. It's proven it to us. Break this temple, I will bring it up again in third day. It's not about the standing, it's about the power that can take it up. Jesus preached in John 6, they left him. He turned to the 12, said, will you also go? The power I've come with is not about the size of the congregation. There is something that will keep them coming. It's compelling power. First, many of you need to do two things tonight. You need to repent and say, I cried when I should have rejoiced. I cried when I should have rejoiced. And some of you will now have to say, thank you, Jesus, for the pains I didn't know was good. Thank you. Can I give you a minute or two to go ahead? You want to go on your faces, go ahead and do that. Oh, Jesus. All over the world, your spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said it should be. Over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. How can you walk when you don't know the ways of the wind? How can you run when you don't know the ways of the Spirit? How can you fly when you don't know the ways of the Spirit? His power at work in you is bringing everything. The obedience to Christ is changing everything. In obedience
to Christ.
Changing
everything
in obedience. Swallow your pride. Tonight, come to the school of the Spirit. Don't you know, in His hands is the key to eternal life. A little here and a little there, until His will is done. He's at work in you. He's bringing
everything.
In obedience to Christ. He's changing everything.
Changing everything.
In obedience.
In obedience to Christ.
Amen. Now get up on your feet, everyone. Get up. Oh, thank you, Father. We give you praise. Amen. The Lord said to tell you that there's going to be restoration of lost years. Because this teaching was to break you through a revelation into what He has promised, but because there's no stirring up of understanding of what God is doing now, you are coming there. And you can now begin to understand that ought not Christ first to have suffered and died before He entered into His glory? Sons are not summed up by mere arithmetics.
It has to take God, the one who holds times and season, to tell you what season you are in. If you knew what I went through the final week here, you would not understand. It was battle inside. It was. I called one of my friends. I said, there's a fight. But I won. I said, I won. I said, I won. Yes. Sometimes the fiercest battles are not spoken. And the devil is fighting your convictions, fighting what you believe, fighting if what God said is true, like he convinced Eve. Did God really say, when you eat this, you will die? He said, you will not surely die. He wants to misinterpret God's word. He wants to confuse you about what God said is going to happen. He wants to collect that picture and give you another one, so he can bring you from best to worst. The unpredictable. He wants to bring you to the predictable, so you can boast. And that's why I talked about joining from faith to hope. Because you can. When you begin to predict things, you speak from that strength. People think you're a man of conviction, but no, for the things you are seeing. But Jesus, for the joy set ahead of him, not for mundane things, he endured the cross. There's a way you speak when you find him. I've come to announce you were not failing, and you are not failing.
Yes, sir.
You're only in God's plan.
Yes, sir.
It's only God's plan. I said it is true of Life Church Abuja to begin from my parlor. We'll live stream from my parlor. Say, apostle in a parlor, yes. To inspire other apostles that will find themselves there, so that they will know that they are not failing. I'm ready for my scar to become a testament of God's faithfulness. I'm not ready to present just what is nice to a generation. Let's show them the scars. And more is still coming. And many times, the devil remind me, say, you know you're still going to cry in ministry. Some things are going to happen that will break you. I said, I know. But faithful is he who has promised. Do you know the cross is coming? You will carry it. I know it is coming. He's prepared me. And he's still preparing me. We don't see battle and turn back. Amen, amen. Sunday I'm going to be here. Maybe we can raise the bar, because this is the most elementary part, I tell you, and I'm not saying that to boast. Maybe we can raise the bar a bit and walk you through the path of faith, the path of the patriarchs, and we understand, so we don't produce a balloon generation, swollen but full of hair, not substance. Balloon swells fast, but there's nothing there. We have to be intentional. I have to be intentional. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Can you lift your hands and give God praise for tonight? Ooh. Oh, we give you praise, Jesus. Gaze is you, Spirit, keep rooting over me
till I know like you.
Can we take that song three times, loud and clear?
Is you, Spirit, keep rooting over me.
Stop, Lord. Father, I ask that your hand that is still strong upon your children remains strong, that you will keep, preserve, help them. that they will not turn their back as weak men in the days that the battle is fierce. Rather, they will finish well and finish strong. They will not sum themselves up too early. They will not compare themselves among themselves. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, dear Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Let's give the Lord a big hand.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.